All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
The CB Bears, Boogie, Hustle and Bump, Mobile Mystery Solvers, with Blast Off Buzzard and Crazy Legs in a constant comedy chase of laughs and fun.
Hey everybody, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show. First time on video in a long time. Is this live? Is this just fantasy? Is this the real life? What has happened to me?
What are you doing?
Open your eyes.
You could have gone for is it live or is it Kodak? That was right there.
Memorex. This is knowing half the podcast, and I've already messed it up.
God damn.
I was going for a Bohemian Rhapsody, and then I realized I started doing it wrong, so I tried to just wing it. Mm-hmm. And winging song lyrics always works.
You are the worst. Also, this is why we don't do video. So
this is why we should do video. This is knowing is half the podcast. Listen, I am Ray Stakatis, whether I should be admitting this on video or not.
I just ran over your bit and I feel good about it. And I'm not
good. No one heard you.
It's off the rails. And now I have to look at both of you when it goes off the rails.
That is a shame. This is going to make all these awkward pauses in the show so much worse.
Yeah, shit's all staying in now.
Who are the? We don't have Chiron, so who are the other two of you?
Chan does.
Oh, that's true. Chan does.
And then I'm Gina Ippolito with no Chiron. My Chiron is knowing is half the podcast.
Wait, should I take like a greeting card and then just like slide it up with my name every so often? Is that a thing?
Why don't you get that? Yeah. I don't even know why I bothered saying it, because it was going to come up anyway.
It's always here, Chan. It is always within arm's reach at any moment's notice. My copy of Seinfeld by Quentin Tarantino's.
Now everyone can see every time I yawn at you two.
And I'm probably going to have to stop playing phone games during the show. So,
boy, what a shock that both of those things happened this entire time.
Listen, my phone's out of view. You can't tell what I'm doing.
I assume that you're diddling yourself right now, because that is what it looks like. Like, what is, oh my god,
yeah, not to this image.
What is that, please, down there?
Anyway, we are talking about a show. This is a show. It's called CB Bears and the CB Bears Friends, I guess.
It's
three different cartoons in one show.
Originally it was like it was like an hour long show and there are four segments, but then it got broken up into a 30-minute show with three segments each, but that still it ended up being like six different cartoons. The Wikipedia was not very helpful, so who knows, but there are three chunks in this one, and wherever we end up posting the links, I'll post the link to the four actual videos. There's like the intro and then
the three events.
I tried to come up with like a full episode, but I think one or two of them were like from different episodes. It doesn't fucking matter. And then we'll do this again for the other three at some point, maybe next week.
Do we have to do this again? That was my
question.
Why
is Ray so confused by this? This is just like Garfield and Friends.
Garfield and Friends, though, was the Garfield segment and then the U.S. Acres segment. And it was great. These are three completely disparate concepts involving.
Yeah, but Garfield and those had no similarities. They weren't.
But they were next to each other in my newspaper funny section.
Looney Tunes? Looney Tunes wasn't. Like, this is Looney Tunes.
To me, somehow this is not Looney Tunes. I wrote just my
Are
first
you
note.
Really?
Look, this is Hanna-Barbera. This is classic Hanna-Barbera. And my first note is, this looks like classic trash that somebody like made up for a movie to have a cartoon in the background that it isn't real. If you were to put parts of any of these CB Bears episodes, or the buzzard, or the Posse Impossible that we're going to talk about, and you had them in the background, I would have been like, oh, they just made up a cartoon for the sake of this movie. This can't be real, even though it feels in the vibe of all these other ones.
I was explaining this podcast to someone who's never listened to it today. And I said, you know, like we've started to run out of G.I. Joe, so we're rationing it. We watch cartoons, but you know, the sort of the worse, the better. I generally enjoy most things. Chan generally hates most things. And Ray doesn't understand cartoons made for 6 year olds.
He doesn't understand anything at all, I think.
You know, I know you're deeply Italian, but I need you to do less hand gesturing because half my face was covered up.
You know what? I will fix this thing so that your face is entirely covered all of the time by Gina.
I mean, and to be fair, that's what the people want.
That's true.
Know better.
Oh, we're gonna make a hideous.
There's a line.
A hideous half Gina, half Ray.
Here we go.
Oh, Christ.
Nobody loves this.
Why? I was the one who was like, let's do a video episode. I have the equipment. I have the software. I have the skills. I can make this happen. And now, what have I wrought?
What a deep shocker. It took us less than 2 minutes to completely break your video.
Jesus. I don't even remember. You know what? I had a really...
It was salient too. I felt it.
And it's gone now, so we can just move on.
Okay, so the intro to this, what I was confused by, okay, I get it, Gina. What I was confused by is it seems that it tells us who all these characters are. It introduces all of these characters for all three segments of the Buzzard and the Posse and the CB Bears. But it doesn't really tell us what their deal is. It's like, here's Clem and Joe, but we don't know what their relationships are. We don't know their world.
You can't figure this out from context clues, Ray. Oh,
well, guess what, Gina? This is a video now. We can watch it, and you tell me how far off base I am.
What are we watching?
The intro.
Why do you want
because he can't understand... three cartoon bears.
Jen, get off the Marvel snap for a second and follow my train of thought.
Here's the thing. Like last week, I was irritated because we weren't getting like any sort of narration about what was going on. It was Devlin we were watching. And this time, yeah, it is super sparse. It's like, here, there's three bears. Their names are... Shitty, Fuckwit, and Nino, and they like that's all I need. Like, oh, I get
no,
it.
No, but I need more context than that.
Because all they're doing is just having adventures, and you don't need anything more than that. There's no backstory. It's three dumb bears doing knockoff Scooby-Doo shit.
But tell me then that they're doing knockoff Scooby-Doo shit. Don't just say here's three bears. Go. Like, this isn't Improv 101. I need a little bit more context. Tell me about the world they live in. What are their relationships? Are they brothers? Are they a couple? I don't know.
Listen, a 5-year-old could watch this episode and not have questions like this. So why must you make everything difficult?
I'm not the one making it difficult. A five-year-old doesn't have questions because a five-year-old doesn't care.
But also, by the way, the first sentence of the Wikipedia page would have explained this to you. They are investigators who are basically like Charlie's Angels, hence why they're talking into that electronic box.
I completely forgot about that angle. Right when we get into it, I'll be like, why is that woman on the CB trying to fuck these bears?
Oh so. Yeah, no, she is DTF the entire time. It is crazy.
Yeah, yes, it's very strange that her voice was that sexy.
It didn't need to be.
Let's get into the intro using Please. My fancy new
We have the technology. Let's use it.
Ooh, he switched.
Wow.
All of a sudden,
I feel smaller.
Let's see if this works.
It's Stevie Bales, Boogie Hustle and Bump, Mobile Mystery Solvers.
It literally says Mobile Mystery Solvers.
I didn't catch that. I just heard their names. I wrote down the name. I didn't even write down the names. Now that I'm looking at it, no, I missed that.
But you can't. This is. You gotta use your ears.
No, look, I just wrote blast down off buzzer and in crazy middle. Legs in a constant comedy chase of laughs and fun.
Doubtful.
Constant comedy.
Disagree.
Here's the thing. I vehemently disagree with you about the reasons why this cartoon is shit. This cartoon is shit. So
I am shocked to hear you say that.
But yeah, this is just a knockoff of Roadrunner Wile E. Coyote.
That's all it is.
That's fine. That's what most cartoons are.
Along with Slipshod Sheriff and his posse, Impossible.
Honestly, which one is Slipshod Sheriff? Is he
Nobody knows.
Like, dude with the deep voice? Because he's
knows.
Like a Dudley Do-Right kind of character. Well,
they also do a cut where they say Posse Impossible and they cut back to the goddamn snake and the buzzard.
Oh, like,
are they part of the Posse Impossible? I don't know.
What? This should not
All
be that
rolled
confusing.
Into a surprise package of excitement on the CB Bear Show.
These assholes.
All right, so there's that.
This now, should not be as confusing as you have made it.
Oh, in no way should it be.
That's never stopped me before.
I'm already exhausted of this.
We're talking about the CB Bears. We're open with the CB Bears specific episode. This one's longer than the other two. This is a 9-minute roll. It's the other two are 6 minutes and much more tolerable as a result.
Yeah, it's you got your headliners, then you got your post openers, I guess. It's like a reverse concert is what it is.
Yeah, no, usually, you know, I'm the one usually in the first. I'm no, you know what, in wrestling, I was never the first match. But I was often the second. I didn't bring the energy needed for the first match.
also, were you, when you showed up for the match, were you confused? Were you like, who are these people to each other? What do they do?
It was very confusing. The audience was never outlined for me.
Is this tag team? Are they brothers? Are they a throuple?
I should know this. I should know this based on your ring entrance. I should know what your relationship is, what the deal. Look, when me and my tag team partner, Melvin Hertz, the comedy or the wrestling nerd, came to the ring, when we came to the ring, it was very obvious he was the technical, smart one, and I was the loudmouth idiot.
You
and
mean obvious, like three bears that are dressed in very distinct different outfits and have very distinct different voices and announce in the theme song that they are mobile investigators?
Wait a minute. Were their characters much different from each other?
Yes.
It seemed like they were all generally scared of things, but also generally going to do a thing.
Well, no, they're definitely like three distinct comedy
tropes,
impersonations.
Yes,
they're impersonations of famous comedians who
they are.
I didn't bother to like suss out because so many.
Okay, wait a minute, Gina. What's the Wikipedia on this thing? Each one of these is a comedian from that era,
not from this era. From like,
no, 20, I'm not saying for this era. I'm not expecting Louis C.K. to be up there, Chan. That doesn't make any
20, 30
sense.
Years prior to the cartoon.
Get up the door and masturbate in front of you.
You know, when I went for a modern comic, I knew I made a mistake the second it came out of my mouth. I went for it anyway.
Are you sure that wasn't your sling blade? I feel like when impressions go bad, it always ends up as a sling blade.
Okay, CB Bears, Hanna-Barbera, 1977, anthology series. As like many Hanna-Barbera shows of the time, despite it confusing Ray, It was a spoof on the 1976 hit show Charlie's Angels with a trio of Earth sign investigators given assignments by an unseen.
This was intentionally a ripoff of Charlie's Angels?
Yes, that's why there's a voice on the box.
But they're in an RV and they use a CB radio.
Similarly, Hey, It's the King was a takeoff of Happy Days. Blast Off Buzzard imitated Looney Tunes' Wile E. Coyote and Roadrunner. Posse Impossible was a cowboy show caricaturing John Wayne. Shake, Rattle, and Roll featured a trio of ghosts.
All of these that you're not seeing today are on the next one. So.
Okay. Oh, great.
If you want to go, if you are super excited to see a lion as
super
as
excited.
The CB Bears. That is Hustle, who's voiced by Dawes Butler, who's impersonating Phil Silvers, famous comic Phil Silvers.
Okay.
Boogie
and stock Commedia dell'arte characters.
Yeah, voiced by Chuck McCann, and Bump, voiced by Henry Corden. Traveling around, they're detectives disguised as trash collectors. They travel around in the perfume wagon. A sultry voiced female named Charlie, obviously, Charlie's Angels, contacts the bear to give them their assignments. It was inspired by Charlie's Angels. Bump is wearing a blonde hairstyle similar to Farrah Fawcett. Each of their names are based on a 1970s disco dance.
That's honestly very funny. That's more thought than I thought went into this cartoon, given what I saw on screen.
The fact that you were confused at any point suggests that you are not the best person to go to.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Wait, why do I host a cartoon podcast when I'm so confused all the time?
Oh, but now it makes sense that you thought you were a big-time genius for figuring out a twist in Severance that a two-year-old figured out.
Wait, now here's the deal. We don't actually know that that's the twist yet.
Enough. You know what? If you need...
No spoilers here.
Go to New Rock Stars. They have breakdowns. It's fantastic. This isn't even me just like blowing smoke up Gina's ass. Like, we legitimately watch it now after we watch the episode of Severance. Because, like, oh, shit, did we miss anything? Are we not getting what the... it's very helpful. Anyway, here's fucking Charlie.
It's Charlie on a CB.
Come in, perfume wagon. We have reports of a strange plant creature in your area.
I don't know, man. Just seems weird.
I felt like they really hammed that CB radio in like areas it didn't need to go in. You know what I'm saying? Like they were like, they're the CB Bears. We got to make sure that like three times a cartoon, they're on a CB radio.
That's how Charlie's Angels was.
Listen, it's been a long time since I've seen Charlie Angels. It's been a long time since I've seen the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. It's been a long time since I've seen a Victoria's Secret angel. Which one of these is Drew Barrymore?
All three.
What just happened Excellent. To the park ranger?
And now she sounds like she's like whacked out on downers.
I literally wrote, why is the voice so sexy?
Oh, no. That is in my notes. I wrote it as, why is that woman trying to fuck those bears?
Yeah.
Yeah. Fuckable Charlie. So yeah, we're on the same page.
So my note is similar, still made, but not the same.
If we still made those delightful memes that we did in season one when Ray was still trying.
I was the one that was making those.
Chan. When Chan was still trying.
I was making a ton of those. What are we talking about? Why are you taking credit for all my memes? You did make a lot of them, though.
I think we should make one that's Chan with a voice bubble that says, why is that woman trying to fuck those bears?
Into it. I also wrote here, like, the VO acting of this is like classic, like it's very good. I honestly thought that the VO act, everybody in this, as much as I'm going to like, I did not care for this, I will say the voice acting was phenomenal. Like, I knew
Hanna-Barbera actors, like you recognize the voice from all, like they're real voice actors. It's not like they got some, you know, their neighbor in
Canada.
I was gonna say Canada, and then
Yeah,
like,
looking
you
at
know,
you, Deke Animation.
there's a lot of good voice actors that come out of Canada, though. A lot of the OG X-Men are Canadian, so I was also gonna say Canada because that's where they went for cheap, but they're still good.
I mean,
I'm trying
yeah,
to
but they're
remember
not.
That one cartoon we did where it was like clearly made by a guy in his basement, and he like was just like roping friends in to voice it.
Oh man, I think that was that puppet show. Anyway, yeah, obvious. Dawes Butler is amazing. I mean, everybody's very, very good. I did make a note here. Okay, good. We make sure we cover the CB radio at some point, because if we have an episode of CB Bears without the CB, what's next? They're not bears. I don't want to live in that world. No, not for me. So we're told about plants. We're told that they're okay. I saw this as a Scooby-Doo, okay? And so we're told there are plant creatures. So in my brain, it's like, okay, somebody's imitating a plant creature. And then Boogie gets immediately kidnapped by vines. And I'm like, what the F, dude?
I was like, okay, like things traveling around in a van, like, you know, solving mysteries. I was like, oh, this is Scooby-Doo.
Chen, what happened to your spirit? Chan, are you fading away on us?
Don't worry, man.
Chan, come back.
Did Chan go back in time and kiss his mom and push his dad out of the way of a car?
Chan, don't teach them rock and roll. They're not ready yet.
Yeah.
Their kids are going to love it, though.
Here's the thing.
Kids are going to love it.
I'm not a white guy going in and telling everybody that I invented rock and roll, so...
Channy, just be good. The point I'm trying to make is there's a strange plant creature in your area, and I'm like, yeah, right. Man in a mask, let's do it.
No, that's what I was going to say, and then you stole my thought.
Expound upon it because you're smarter than me.
Well, no, like it's set up with so many similarities to Scooby-Doo.
Yes,
traveling around in a van, you know, like sentient animals, blah blah blah. That I was like, oh, okay, I guess it's going to be... And then when they do reveal the guy, I'm like, I don't understand. Are the trees robots? And then at some point they're like, well, or is it trees wearing shoes? And I was like, no, obviously it's not trees wearing shoes. It's guys dressed up like trees, you fucking idiots. And then it ended up being trees wearing shoes.
No, it was real trees wearing shoes, and there were only two of them.
I mean, I kind of like that. It's a little crazier. It's a good twist. Good severancy twist.
I didn't hate it. So, but what I, one thing I noticed about this cartoon, I know it's only 9 minutes long, but resolutions only take about 5 seconds. Boogie gets abducted by the vines, and the CB Bears go, Boogie, they got him. Let's go get him. And then 5 seconds later, they've got him. They catch up with the plant monster and take him back.
They're good at their job. They're good at their job.
Here's the thing. Like, we cut out the chaff. That's not necessarily a bad thing. This is not a character piece. It's not like we're like getting into the internal lives of these three bears, as Ray so aptly noted. You know,
I want to do that.
We don't know. We don't know anything about these.
We don't know anything about them. Who? Where did they come from?
What do they? What do they desire?
What do they want? Thank you, Chan. I want to know what the CB bears really want at the end of the day.
What Ray is saying is he is going to make some fanfic later. He's gonna.
Yeah, he is. Bears.
Just getting busy while in the truck while Charlie is watching, like she shows up.
Yeah, yeah.
Chan, please. There was a Ninja Turtle video you showed us a while back. Charlie's doing more than watching.
Fair enough. You know what? This is your fanfic. I don't wanna like tell you how to do it.
She's writing about it too.
I do want to just revel for a moment in like real deal voice acting.
Do not pick the tourists.
They're headed for the ranger station. They must be stopped before they ruin everything.
You can tell he's a bad guy because he rolls his R.
Well, he's also hanging out in a forest with monster trees. That was a pretty good clue too.
I didn't notice. I just heard the accent and just went from there.
into it. Into it. So, yeah, so he's a mad scientist. So the plants are actually real. And this is what I mean. They come up with a big plan where they're going to cut a tree down in the road to stop them from going to the ranger station. The whole thing is they are afraid of getting found out. So they're going to kill the bears or at very least prevent them from reaching the ranger station. So now I think I've got this sort of attack the block scenario where they're going to be spending the whole episode trying to get to the ranger station while the trees and the mad scientists try to stop them. But that is also not where we're going with this.
No,
at all.
It's not. This is not Raid Redemption. This is not.
It's not even Raid Shadow Legends.
No, it is none of these things.
So again, conflict gets resolved so quickly. They cut down a tree to go in the middle of the pathway where they're driving. And I'm just like, okay, that'll take a moment to get past. No, the bears just pull out like a big saw on the top of their vehicle and cut through it and then just keep on driving.
Fucking super spies. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
They go full spy hunter. Surprised they didn't go into the back of a semi.
Oh, like Final Destination style, like those bears are supposed to die
Gina, all right, man, I really want to be on your side, but if you don't know anything about the classic arcade stand-up fucking Spy Hunter, which had the best goddamn soundtrack of all time, BT Dubs.
That was a trap I set, and Chan didn't fall into it, but Gina did.
You drive a little car around, you shoot your guns, and
it's a great game.
At the stage, you drive into a semi that picks you up. It's magical.
Oh, I thought he was saying you crash into a semi.
Sometimes, if you're doing it wrong. Listen, so the big point here is they're going to the ranger station. They're trying to be prevented from going to the ranger station. They drop a tree in front of them. They cut out the tree in 1 or 2 seconds. And then they stop the car inexplicably and follow footprints into the forest because now going to the ranger station just does not matter anymore. We're not going there anymore. It was very important to the plot 30 seconds ago, and now we've forgotten about it already. They're just going, you know, somewhere.
Hold on. There's
somewhere
was one line. They're following the trees, and they realize that they got fucking feet. Unusual. Sure.
What with plants? What with shoes?
Maybe they're shoe trees.
You know what? Solid.
I give it to yeah. Him. I chuckled.
So then they find the plant monsters and they find the mad scientist whose name is Greensleeves. And his big motivation is he wants to get rid of all the humans in the forest.
Yeah, this is like half poison ivy motivation, half people who live in Malibu and don't want people on their public beaches.
Here's my problem with his motivation, though, if I may. He very specifically wants to make sure that all humans are gone from the forest, yet he attacks these three bears who are very clearly not human. Why are they not allowed? What is happening in this guy's
mind? Because they're not real bear. Like they're citified bears.
Wait, these are humans
bears.
In disguise? Are they wearing Mission Impossible masks?
They're citified bears and they want to camp on the land and he doesn't want them there.
I'm not buying that. Not buying it.
Let's take a moment to just sort of like drink in the character design.
How many different shades of white can exist?
What? Why are those lips so big?
That's a great question.
The glasses, the eyebrows are black. Everything else is stone cold white.
It is a really strange design.
And yeah, his plan.
So he's an albino, and this is why he has a problem with humans. He was maybe treated badly as a kid growing up for being different.
And I'm back on your side again, Ray.
About time.
Greensleeves, my pants and I will soon rid the forest of all human intruders.
Yeah, he's staring right at him, man. And he says,
they're not humans, Greensleeves. What? How long you been in this forest, dude? This is uncomfortable because he's the only human in the entire episode, from what I remember. So if he's trying to get rid of all humans, all he has to do is leave.
I mean, he could also just say all humans and their associates and everybody who's trying to citify the forest. Everyone who's trying to...
He could have literally said anything else.
Or like,
Yeah. It was, and weird. I could have been okay.
Maybe it's a joke. Maybe that's the funny part.
They're not that.
No. We know what the funny part is. It's shoe trees. Everything else,
shoe trees is pretty good.
Not a joke. Also, green sleeves is a wonderful / terrible name for a poison ivy type villain.
I don't hate the name.
It's great.
Yeah. So they get trapped on a log over the river.
I'm singing. Do, 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 do.
He's singing green sleeves.
You know what? I'm just gonna sit back.
I had this cassette tape of green sleeves on a medieval lute when I was a kid. Just play it all the time. Rock.
I bet you did.
It was for like sleepy time, you know, just like getting, you know, chill vibes. Is that what the kids call it these days? Lo-fi.
It's lo-fi. Yeah, it's lo-fi.
For coffee shops or what have you. That was me and my cassette of lute music, medieval lute music. You can move on now.
If anyone at home is surprised that Robert Clark Chan grew up with a cassette tape of lute music, post it in the comments. There will be no comments.
One of those tape players that's got like this, there was like a rectangle and there's like a speaker, and then you know pop it open to put in the tape, and there's a little handle that comes out. Remember the handle?
I do remember the handle.
Yeah. Sorry, Gina. This is too old man shit for you, but
I try not to play into the old man stereotypes, but here we are.
No, look, as of yesterday,
of
February 7th, 2025, I'm just leaning the fuck into it. That's how it is.
Man, I'm surprised you're even wearing pants, if I can be honest. Well, I don't actually
You know don't know that, if do he
I?
Is.
No, I don't. Don't make no, me I do up. Not. Nor do I want to. I like the mystery, can I say. The bears are on a log. They throw the log in the water. The plants do. And then they're in a river going towards a waterfall. And unfortunately, this is the moment where I realize I don't think this cartoon is very good. They're trying to paddle upstream as they're about to go over the waterfall. And it works. That did make me laugh a little bit. That should not work. It's a cartoon. It does work. Delightful.
Listen, so far I've heard several things you guys found delightful about this. So once again, I think you have a knee-jerk reaction that you don't like it because you're old grumps. But I mean, when you get into the nitty-gritty of these fucking bears that are having sex with a human lady, I assume.
Yeah.
You guys like it.
Listen. I'll just say right now, most of my negative thoughts about this overall experience do come from the next two cartoons and not as many from this one. But this one, I did not. Look, there are moments I have to give it its dab, if you will. There are moments of this that are fine. They're fine.
What does Ray mean? Give it its dab.
He has no idea.
No cap, man.
He has no idea.
They find a greenhouse in the forest, and they dig a hole and then grab the plant creatures and put them in the hole and then water them with a hose that's just there. And the plant creatures are like, cool with it. And then Greensleeves comes out and says, why have you ruined my plant creatures? And Gina, maybe you're a Wikipedia. Does it explain why the plant creatures are ruined? They're plant creatures. They could also get pulled out of the ground.
Hold on. I'm
confused.
This gets into like some weird ass Dr. Moreau territory because like apparently he grew these things and worked on them so that they would be sentient and mobile and whatnot. Yeah. And then these bears come up with a plan. They dig a hole and they plant them and water them, and they're super happy about it.
They love it.
So, like, I guess he, you know, forced them into a place they didn't necessarily want to be, and they essentially rewilded them. And they're like all sorts of weird philosophical questions that come up as a result of that. Like, is he evil for doing that? Has he advanced in such a way that like the suffering of these two, again, sentient creatures is justified? It just took it into a weird place where I'm like, I know that's not what you meant, but that's what's happening now. That's what's on the screen. And I am uncomfortable that you're unwilling to confront the ethics of this.
It is. And then it gets further complicated by the fact that the bears then plant Greensleeves himself into the ground.
Yeah, well, I believe that is a dick move. But then the plants, turns out, here's the thing. Again, like, is this good or bad? I think they genuinely love Greensleeves because they water him in the way that they would themselves like to be watered. So, you know, like, this is a maybe he'll just chill and be like, you know what? It's fine. I'm just going to go back to my greenhouse. You humans and human-like bears, do what you're going to do. Just lay off my shit.
Water him, I thought, because like when they get watered, they turn from grumpy to happy.
Yeah.
So I think they're trying to make him turn him from grumpy to happy.
100%.
You should try that, Chan.
I take a shower several times. Several times. And so
several times. Yeah. I get it.
Fine. I'm happy.
And just as all these philosophical questions are being asked, just as we are just starting to break into the meat of what is happening here, that's the end of, that's it. We're done. The CB radio kicks on and Charlie says there's a new monster.
So you didn't understand the episode ending? You didn't understand what these bears were? What did you understand, Ray?
Not a lot, Gina. Be honest with you, not a lot.
Do you know what a shoe tree is?
I do know what a shoot. I am old enough. I'm not as old as Chan. I am old enough. It's close. But I'm old enough to know what a shoe tree is and have used one when I was younger.
Oh, nice.
And shown my own kid how to use something else as a shoe tree in the year 2025.
Why would you?
See, she was having trouble getting her shoes on, Chan.
We weren't fancy enough to have a shoe
tree. Wait, are you confusing a shoe tree and a shoe horn?
Yes.
Yep. There you go. Well,
I didn't understand that either.
Are you serious that you?
Yes, he's serious.
I mean, obviously, I was kidding you guys.
God damn it.
Why is my head so much bigger than everyone else's? How do
Because every time you don't understand something, it grows.
It should be a lot bigger than, quite honestly. Chan, how do you make me turn into that ghost creature and just go away?
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.
The Transformers, Morgan meets the eye. Autobots wage their battle to destroy the evil forces of the Decepticons. The Transformers, Morgan meets the eye. The Transformers.
Transformers, sold separately from Hasbro.
Now, back to G.I. Joe.
Anyway, that's the end of CB Bears, but the beginning of this shitty buzzard cartoon called Clean Up Your Act.
Why did Yeah, this is so. This is exactly what Wile E. Coyote is.
No, this is not. This is the Wish.com version of Wile E. Coyote.
No, Wish.com at least has the benefit of being inexpensive, and this just took time from my life. Life I could have been living and experiencing joy.
Yeah, this is if you fed a Wile E. Coyote cartoon into an AI and asked it to pump out the script and it just didn't understand. This is if I tried to write a Wile E. Coyote script is what I'm trying to say.
Look, it's not even bad. It's just
not bad.
Aggressively mediocre.
I don't even think it achieves to that.
Like, I think we're saying the same thing. I think when I say I think it's fine and Chan says it's aggressively mediocre, it means the same thing. But Ray actively sounds like he hated it, and that makes me think he didn't understand it.
Look, there's a lot of things I don't understand in this world. I'm not going to get into most of them now. But what I will get into is how is this savable? Character design. Instead of a coyote and a roadrunner, you have a buzzard dressed up like Amelia Earhart, and you have a snake, like the Q-Bert snake, but this is before Q-Bert, wearing a football helmet with no grid on the front. He's wearing an old-timey Leatherheads football helmet.
It's got to be a reference to something, because as you say, it is a sort of like a Amelia Earhart, like a old-timey biplane pilot kind of look for Blastoff Buzzard. That's his name. That's the name of this segment.
So sorry. Buzzard. So sorry.
And the snake is what? What is the snake? What is that character?
The snake.
The patriarchy. That's what took down Amelia Earhart.
Here I thought it was the ocean.
Maybe the snake is the ocean.
So, Chan, can you just show me a part here? It's at a roughly 1 minute, 24 seconds into this cartoon. And there's just a whole segment where no one says anything and they just grunt at each other for what, in the moment at least, felt like an extended period of time.
There's no talking. Did you not understand that?
There should be talking. But there's grunting. They wanted talking and they didn't do talking.
Okay, I'm not sure if this is right, so let's find out.
I mean, what is even happening there?
That snake is Dan Marino.
Dan Marino wasn't drafted for about 7 more years, Gina.
Well, then they were ahead of the curve.
Yeah, they knew who Dan Marino was. Thankfully, football didn't exist in 1977. No, I mean, look, I can't with the way of this. I can't hear anything from that. I can only hear it when there's dialogue.
You
happening.
Don't need to hear it. There's no dialogue.
But there should be something. It just I didn't understand it. And there's a recurring sequence. I love a recurring bit. I love it when they go back to the well and they keep doing a bit. But this thing with the skunk and the bath that they go back to like 5 times in a 6-minute cartoon. Why, Gina?
You got to repeat it for comedy purposes.
But it was never funny.
It's funny because it's a bit of like, there's no way a skunk is going to be here. Oh, crap. How'd he get there?
No, the skunk itself isn't the problem. It's the taking a bath repeatedly in a bathtub in the desert. Next to a pile of garbage.
They live in the desert. Obviously, that's where they take their baths.
No.
I mean, why not? It seems as likely as anywhere else.
I don't know. I guess to me, the payoff should be funny if we're going to keep going back to it. But him in a bathtub for like, you know, like the Peter Griffin Family Guy bit where he hurts his knee and then he just like, for like 30 seconds every single time, and we just sit on that for way too long. That was the bath segment to me.
Like, once again, I agree with you in that the skunk.
Thank you. No, you can stop there, Chan. You agree with me. Thank you.
Unfunny. The fact that you have to go to a Family Guy segment to say like, no, here's real comedy, you guys. It's so hard.
Hold on, I got to pet Gina's cat.
What do you, what's, Why are you?
I decapitated Gina's cat, but then I had to pet him. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it is what it is.
I mean, look, you can't do one of these without a cat appearing on at some point.
No!
Yeah,
I'm
Gina's done.
Surprised that
Gina's lost.
Showed up.
Yeah, if the bathtub was a good button, I wouldn't have a problem with it. But it's just so, it goes on so long.
Is it because you hate cleanliness and baths and that any type of bathing is necessary?
Ray, you should definitely take a shower at some point.
Okay, first off, Gina, to answer your question.
As I have definitely done at several times in my life.
To answer your question, Gina, yes, obviously I hate them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't need them. I am naturally effervescent, and I smell like Bath and Body Works.
Making me want to vomit.
When your daughter takes a bath and you have to like help her out, that's how you get clean. You can clean at the same time.
She splashes a lot, Chan. I worked in a restaurant with a coworker once, who was an older lady at the time. So she's probably really old now. Damn. But the point I'm trying to make is she legitimately said to me out loud before we started work, she said, "Ever since I discovered Febreze, I don't need to bathe anymore."
Where
and I just want to sit in that moment again with you all.
Yeah, no. Let's give a moment of respect for this.
Yeah, reflection.
Definitely, probably still alive and not dead of some god awful septic disease.
No, she died of Febreze inhalation. I mean, let's just keep it real. I don't know if that's a thing that could happen, but if it could, she did it. I met a lot of weird people, Chan, is what I'm trying to say. A lot of weirdos out there.
That's how we got here.
That is absolutely
how I guess did. I'm also speaking to two weirdos. What am I even referencing right now? Thank God I'm normal. So there's a spring-loaded bellow, and it gets stuck on his head. He wants to get like a fireplace bellow, a thing that you blow air on for the fireplace. And then he's going to use it on the hole where the snake lives. And then he says, "I've got it. I'm going back." But he goes back to where the one hole is with the snake. And there's like 300 goddamn holes. What is...
You didn't understand this part either, right?
No. He came back... And we came back to a place that was completely unlike the place we were at a moment ago. This is like that scene in Poltergeist where she leaves the kitchen, comes back 10 seconds later, and all the chairs are geometrically on the table. Like,
so
who
didn't
did
get
that?
You didn't get that the snake is trying to avoid him, so it quickly dug a bunch of holes to throw him off the scent.
No, that I didn't notice. I didn't understand that at all.
I can't. This is... You know how, like, they say, like, how do you debate someone if you say the sky is blue and they're like, no, it isn't. I don't understand how we have a conversation with you if you don't understand that this.
It was never explained or intimated in any way. Why did you draw that conclusion?
Why did I draw that conclusion that the snake who's been trying to avoid this thing the whole time and who keeps tugging his hole out of the way all of a sudden then shows up with a bunch of holes?
I tug my hole out of the way all the time.
I think that's how Shia LaBeouf got in trouble.
No, I would.
There's layers to that, you guys.
Everything about this is so upsetting
just
to me right now.
Just finish this. Put us out of our misery.
I'm just going to run this little segment of taking the skunk, taking a bath together.
I don't know that the snake ever really acknowledged the buzzard in any way. Gina was so excited she peeked her mic and I couldn't hear any of it.
You know that.
That was incredible. Look, so now we go to the second half of the episode. Where now the buzzard, oh, by the way, Crazy Legs is the name of the snake. Crazy Legs the snake. We have the buzzard has taken on the persona of a traveling magician. I don't want this on the screen anymore, Jan. This is really angering me.
I'm on the screen all the time. Now that I know that Ray hates it, I want it up there permanently.
I don't much care for it. He takes on the persona of a of a traveling magician, except for the fact that he can perform actual acts of magic. He is an actually magic being, this buzzard is. But I guess the snake is too, because the snake hops onto a plate, then he's in the pot, and then he's in a hat, and I hate this. I hate everything about this. I cannot express how not funny, not well thought out, not creative. This is a, like, again, a ripoff of a Coyote and Roadrunner cartoon. If you didn't understand what a Coyote and Roadrunner cartoon was,
you say this character is magic as if you have not done a podcast for years in which you discuss and break down the nature of toon force as it relates to actual physics and how it might interact with other characters who also have superpowers. And I'm making air quotes now because it's a video, and I gotta get real close to my face to do air quotes because I don't have enough space to.
I don't know why we have balloons. What happened on this video? Gina's doing some of her own magic over there.
Doc wants food.
Oh, Gina's already over this.
So I was telling her, wait one moment, because she's bumping the food dish with her nose and then staring at me.
Gina, why do you keep the food dish bereft of food? Why not give them enough food that they don't have to buy? Feed them before you podcast.
You can't just leave food out. They'll just fucking eat it until they die like goldfish.
Yeah, that's how food works, Gina. I don't know that you understand. You have food, so you eat it.
You're not, the vet specifically says you can't refeed cats. It's not good for them.
But the food that you would give to Doc now could have been given an hour ago before we started recording.
No, because then she would just want more.
So this is a never-ending cycle of torture and pain is what I hear you say.
Well, see, she's doing it. She's doing it with her little head again. Wait. You need to wait. I admit I forgot to feed her beforehand.
Maybe you did.
Are we?
This is why you record in the garage. Look, I hate this. He hypnotizes the snake, and somehow he himself gets hypnotized and walks into the pot. The skunk finds the buzzard to be overly stinky, leading to a bath sequence, and we are done here. No, it was not rewarding. No, the gags were not good.
Did you say bath?
Don't you do it. Don't you dare.
I appreciate you waiting for me to cue up the thing again, because I had moved on, but then you brought it up, and I felt like for the fans who are, like, you know, watching the video, we...
This is really upset. We're gonna move on to part three. I found that this particular segment was the worst of all of them. I didn't love the third one either, but Posse Impossible, an episode called Bad Medicine.
Your love is like bad medicine.
Why is your audio so terrible, Gina?
Yeah, I don't know what's happening over there. Every time she goes to get loud, it just says, her mic just goes, I don't think so, Gina. Not today. Not for the people.
It's because I forgot to feed the mic beforehand.
That's a very good point. It's the mic just goes over and starts bumping the food dish with its top. There's a posse, and they are cowboys in the Old West, and they do bits. Like, there's a guy who shines a horse's shoes. His name is Stick. And then there's a medicine man. Now, I just finished playing Red Dead Redemption 2. So this medicine man is Dutch Vanderlyn nearly completely. And it made me laugh real hard because he's wearing the same hat, has the same mustache, as well as the same general worldview. And you two won't know what I'm talking about, but anybody who's played that and is listening is like, oh, okay. Could we get the medicine man just on screen for a sec here for our video friends? Since we are a video media. Yeah. So we got Dutch Vanderlyn and his hobo friend, who looks like Hagar the Horrible, but he's a miner.
Yeah, they both look like a very specific type.
Look, he's just putting a plan together. You gotta be patient.
Okay, that's your reference. Here's my reference.
As soon as I start the show, you come in doing your fake lumbago act.
Sure, Bart. And while you're busy selling that rotten gut medicine, I'll sneak back in town and steal everything that ain't nailed down.
I saw that, and in my notes, I have it marked right here. quote, "Well, shit, this is our real life." Unquote. I was like, oh, cool. Well, there's our president and Elon Musk and...
Fair.
Fuck.
Which one is which?
Well, I mean, great question. The dude who's distracting everybody.
It's fair. They're the one who's stealing
goddamn,
everything.
Horse pills and bleach.
Well, then that's RFK. That's not Trump or...
Then there's the other guy who's stealing everything. As the other guy is making wild claims and distracting everybody with his bullshit.
To be fair, if you think the guy in the purple suit selling the fake medicine wouldn't eliminate all cancer research, Gina, I would just disagree with you entirely. They're running a scam. It's a bottle. It's snake oil. It's selling it for $1 a piece. Meanwhile, the 49er guy comes out. He's the one person who says, oh, my back feels great after drinking this. And then he runs into town and steals everybody's goddamn silverware. And we meet one of the Posse Impossible who's named Blubber. He's, believe it or not, he's overweight. I know. Shocking. And he drinks the snake oil and immediately falls through the floor dancing. I respect him. I respect this man.
He's the character that you identify with the most.
The most. He, you know what? He's in pain. He wants the pain to go away at least for a little while. And he's willing to try things that are maybe outside of normalcy. And I respect this man. Because it seems like it works. He's dancing. At this point, the posse... We are now halfway through the episode, by the way.
We need to talk about the fact that he is also fat.
His name is Blubber. And yeah. Chan, I believe I mentioned it already. He is overweight.
Yeah, Ray mentioned it.
I think it bears repeating because
that it's very important to his character that we understand that he is overweight and will fall through the floor when he dances.
It is the character trait that he has as opposed to the other guy who is short, the other guy who is skinny. And Dudley Do Right.
Hold on.
Ray is confused by the show, so I just want to clear it up for him.
No, look, this wasn't the relationship. Confusing.
The relationship here is that guy is fat.
Chan, it's in the title. They're a posse. Short. I understand their relationship, and let me say right now, thank you, writers of Posse Impossible, for laying out what their relationship is.
It's the thing. It's an impossible posse. So my concern is that you think that it is a posse that would not be possible.
No, I take it a different way.
A short person and thinking like, well, this is a possible relationship. I don't understand what's going on when they clearly said that this couldn't happen.
I spent the entire episode trying to figure out for myself which one of these four or five characters is the great ancestor of Kim Possible from the great cartoon show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That seems worth spending time on.
I spent actually too much time on it, if I can be real about it. Mm-hmm. No, I will say I saw a stage show. Like, this is a very quick story, but I saw a stage show in college where they did the Phantom of the Opera. Not that one. They did the lesser known Phantom by Arthur Coppett, I think his name is. Anyway, there was a stage manager character in there, and the actor that they played the stage manager was overweight. So they did the thing that I absolutely drives me crazy as far as characterization goes, is what was in his hand? What was in his hand every second he was on stage? A goddamn sandwich. And what did he do before leaving stage or after delivering every big line? He took a bite of the goddamn sandwich. And that was the extent of that character.
Yo, if I get to get cast in a play and someone's like, you get to eat a sandwich, I'm doing it.
Yeah. Now, look, I you need meta knowledge because that makes sense.
I'm sorry, free food for an actor? Are you kidding me?
But if you cast a 275-pound, 5'7" man,
mm-hmm.
put him in suspenders in a white shirt,
mm-hmm.
make him hold and eat a sandwich the entire time he exists,
he liked it.
Not okay.
He liked it. He wanted to eat that sandwich. It was also probably his idea.
You know what? I have him on the line. Can we get him? He's right over here. Can we get him on the? No, Chan. Do we have the? Can we? Did you set up the fourth camera for this? I actually brought him on for this to talk about it.
Here's the 5'7", 275-pound man right now. Let me go get him.
Wait a minute.
I'm overweight. And somebody offered me free food. I get free food every single show. I don't see what the issue is here.
Listen, I bet he was the one who pitched it. He was like, you know, it'd be funny if you guys got me a fresh Bay City sub every night.
No, this was a white person made a turkey sandwich. It was not.
Hey, it's still a sandwich, man.
Was that a white person who ate it?
It was, in fact, a white person who
there
ate.
There you go, then.
Then he liked it.
No, look,
white
one of the...
know what white people like.
One of the key things that I have found in comedy, in wrestling, in stage productions, in just about everything is, I want to make sure the person on stage is okay. I just want to make sure that they're not being exploited, that they are there of their own volition. And I never felt okay watching that version of Phantom.
Sounds like he wasn't a very good actor, if that's what you were preoccupied with.
Wow.
Wait, you're going to tell me fire. The problem is with me?
No, the problem is with his lack of believability, I guess. Like, you were watching him and you couldn't believe that this 275-pound man would eat a sandwich.
It was shocking and upsetting. And I will just go on the record saying it.
This is going on for too long.
Well, what y'all want to do
podcast?
Bits. The point I'm trying to make
life, Chan.
Listen, Gina, you're not wrong. The Posse Impossible saddles up. Time to go. Let's follow them. The bad guys hide all the loot in a false bottom of their thing, of their wagon. There we go. And they're going to go make a new batch of medicine. The new batch of medicine is such that if it's in the heat, you know, in the desert of an old west town,
yeah,
it will explode. It will explode.
This tracks. This tracks to me. There were only so many liquids back then. A lot
They're
of them
making
were flammable.
Nitroglycerin.
Like, I understand this is a 6-minute cartoon. There's not a lot of time for nuance or plot twists. They're hoisted on their own petard, but also, like, just out of fucking nowhere, like, oh, by the way, these things are explosive and can go off at any time that the plot deems necessary.
Yes.
That seemed a little lazy.
And about 10 seconds later, it gets very hot and the wagon explodes. And all the loot drops from the sky. And then a hilarious bit where the jail was also where they were keeping the medicine that they bought.
I like that bit.
Also blows up.
I like that the jail blew up, but that may be because I'm ACAB. I don't know. That might be.
Oh, you know what? Okay. You know what? That's fine. Then the bad guys are like, I guess you can't put us in jail if there's no jail. And then the pieces of the jail form a jail around them. And that's the end. And my next note here just says, damn it, Chan, I looked at next week. Are we doing this again with you saying I'm not happy about it?
Here's the thing. Here's the thing.
I liked it.
I'm probably going to move that because it occurred to me like, oh, God, we can't do this 2 fucking weeks in a row.
It might be too much.
You could, Gina, but you're only 1/3 of this triumvirate and you just got voted down. So
I'm the most important third, though. Let's be real.
You're like 40% of the show.
Yeah, I wouldn't say you're over 50%, but I wouldn't say you're much below 50%.
Anyway, that was part one of CB Bears.
The CB Bears, ladies and gentlemen. God damn it.
No.
Do we have any like outro music that we can enjoy on the way out the door? Because we're not doing plugs or anything. Gina is well ready to be done. The prep for this video took way longer than any of us could have imagined. And that's not Chan's fault. This is ambitious.
What were you imagining? What were you imagining?
I literally walked into this Zoom recording not having a clue what you were going to do. And honestly, I'm here for it. We got to tweak it, but I'm here for it. And I would like to keep going.
We have established that Ray is easily confused. So when he showed up and the routine was slightly different.
Who are you? Who's talking?
I'm a bear. I'm a sentient bear in the woods.
Well, that holds up.
Along with Slipshod Sheriff and his posse Impossible, all rolled into a surprise package of excitement on the CB Bear Show.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.
Hey, you. No. Don't look over here. Keep your eyes on the road. Got something for you. Take a listen to this.
In the newest Pokemon, they have Score Bunny, which is a starter.
What?
Yes.
Score Bunny?
So it's a fire bunny that plays soccer. He kicks balls.
He scores. Great.
Score, like Scorch, I think. Yeah. Oh, I get it. Like goal. Like Score Bunny.
Rad.
There's Score Bunny, who uses his mad soccer skills to steal, I think, like donuts or something like that.
How does he use his soccer skills to steal donuts?
He kicks it.
Oh, yummy.
The best part is, though, Score Bunny wants to go and follow Ash and go on big adventures. But
oh my
Ash
god,
is like,
Ash is still the main character of the anime?
Yes, where have you been? Yeah, so Ash is like, I'm getting on the train, I'm leaving, Score Bunny. And Score Bunny's
is it
like,
because he's 80 years old, that's why he sounds like that? Nothing makes donuts taste better than a foot coming in contact with them.
If you like what you heard and love co-op with your friends, check out Gaming Together, a cooperative podcast. That's Gaming Together, a cooperative podcast.